Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We're getting down to business, all right. And this time, the business of broadcasting, the business of sports, and the business of really ensuring that when businesses and organizations find gems within their divisions, how do they capitalize on that potential growth? All right, now we are building up on perspectives that have been shared by multiple stakeholders and largely individuals who have been analyzing Multi-Choice Group. As you might recall, yesterday they published their numbers, seeing a dip and decline in their subscriber revenue, having to absorb the cost constraints, especially on the back of currency depreciations across the continent. And depending on which metric you saw, their profit did increase, but of course headline earnings still under significant pressure. Despite all this, though, it does seem as though many are still looking to investigate what would be a positive outcome or great growth story to come out of Multi-Choice. And is it super sport? Especially on the back of the fact that we still consider Canal Plus is still on the prowl to actually conclude its deal with Multi-Choice, while details of which we still have to be updated on. But for now, we're zoning into Super Sport. What would happen if Multi-Choice had to unbundle Super Sport from DStv? And is Super Sport still considered a market leader within the sporting viewing space? Someone who knows about this and will give us some perspective is Nqobile Ndlovu, Cash and Sport Research Director, who joins us on the show. Babu Ndlovu, such a pleasure to speak to you again and delighted to hear your perspective on this particular topic tonight. I can imagine, like many other journalists, you took a look at Multi-Choice's results yesterday and perhaps were fishing out and trying to eye out any sweet spots and opportunities that might exist here. But talk to us about Super Sport.
Good evening, Kogu, and good evening to your listeners. Thank you for having me. Yeah, Super Sport is the crown jewel of the Multi-Choice chain. It is what draws people to it. It is a bit of a poison chalice because it's unique in the world in that Super Sport broadcasts the most hours of combined sport in the world. Last year, they broadcast 47,839 hours, which was an increase of 7% year on year. But it is a challenge in that there is no other broadcaster that does that. And the reason why they don't do that is because they found that it's almost impossible to get all of your sport under one umbrella. So it's a unique thing to have, and we're lucky to have it. But also at the same time, people bemoan it because, you know, they feel like it should be cast aside from the rest of the bouquet and it should be on its own. But it's been kept that way because it keeps the rest of the ship alive. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, as Multi-Choice.
Maybe let's talk about it being cost on its own, as you say. What would that look like? Because I guess international comparisons would be what? ESPN? But even that would also fall under a cable network, right? And there's a few. Oh, go ahead. Educate us. Said we understand what the potential within Supersport does look like and the risks that are also involved.
Yeah, so maybe before we get into that, let's just understand what it costs for them in terms of sport.
Yes.
Right? Multi-Choice's content library cost them about 8.6 billion rand in the last financial year. Right? Sport accounted for about between 40 and 50% of that.
Got you.
Right? And the bulk majority of that is sports rights. So your Champions League, SA Rugby, they still have to renew the rights for the PSL, which they pay about 600 million rand for on an annual basis. So those costs are not tiny. And the future content obligations rose to about 48 billion. So these are rights that they've signed already that they're going to have to pay for going into the future, about 4 years roughly for most of those rights. Mm. So those costs are astronomical on their own. But other broadcasters have found a way to make it work. Although, you know, there's only one or two examples of where it has worked. Others are still struggling financially. DAZN, for example, is a sports-only streaming platform. They are the, if people don't know who they are, they're the official broadcaster of the FIFA Club World Cup that starts this weekend.
Okay.
The FIFA Club World Cup is basically a club competition, which is like the Champions League, but it's a global competition. So it's taking teams from Africa, Asia and America and the rest of the world, etc. They have about 20 million global subscribers. but they reported losses of about $1.38 billion, and they're still losing money. They have never made a profit. ESPN Plus was spun off from ESPN. Mm-hmm. It was a major success in that it gained about 20 million subscribers when it got spun off, but they still operated a lot. They've never made a profit as ESPN Plus as a standalone. Mm-hmm. Where it has kind of worked is what Sky did, where they launched Sky Now. So what they do there is that they allow people who don't have Sky to purchase maybe a month in subscriptions, or they'll purchase a game, which is almost like a pay-per-view. But instead of having to purchase the entire package and watch things like Generations and the like, you're able to only watch sport for a period of time and then get out. What that has, it's proven to be successful for them, but it's a very delicate balancing act. And the problem with it also is that the cost for that month is significantly higher than if you were to only package it as a sport, you know, as part of the overall bouquet, you know. So it gets challenging because you have to be very careful with your costs and not increase the cost too much, otherwise people won't come, you know. And then obviously also we've got the issue of having to then watch your sport on multiple different bouquets in order to get the full sport experience, which you get on DStv and SuperSport.
I, this makes a lot more sense. And thank you so much for that breakdown there, Ngobile. It does seem as though it really speaks to the revenue model, that substantially your input costs in terms of content and royalties could substantially increase at a quicker pace than what your revenue would. And that's, I guess, the conundrum and the quagmire. Is there any other streaming platform specific to sport or any others that have actually gotten this balance right, especially in terms of a diversified approach to their revenue model?
There isn't one where you get everything in one place. What I think people need to understand is that once we move away from the current business model that MultiChoice and SuperSport have, we will not be able to watch everything under one roof. It's basically impossible. Mm-hmm. Because if your sports rights costs account for about 50% of your overall content matrix, and the bulk majority of the people who are keeping the subscriber base alive on SuperSport. Let's not forget that MultiChoice as a group lost 1.2 million subscribers last year, and another 1.6 million in the previous year. So it's about 2.8 million in 2 years alone. They're bleeding subscribers. And the only reason why people are staying on DStv premium packages is for the sport. You can't watch rugby, et cetera. So it's a very big challenge that they have, in that if you ask people to only watch on Showmax, where, for example, you can watch the Premier League on Showmax and you watch the PSL on Showmax for only 69 Rand, it's great. But your average revenue per user dramatically decreases from your premium base of let's say 1,000 Rand a month to 69 Rand. It's just unsustainable for the book. So it's exactly what you're saying, right? The conundrum is do you do it and risk, do we do it and appease the customer base, who I would assume that a lot of them would come back just for that sport, but you're not making as much money from them? And can you do it given the fact that these rights costs are so high in the first place, and you have to service those costs? They're not going to just decrease for you because you're now deciding to change your business model.
Sure. I find this so intriguing. And if anything, I think it also tells us that we as consumers, in as much as we might bemoan the fact that there's multiple streaming platforms, but the truth is that's the change in the behavior, but also the change in the offerings. So no longer will we just rely on a one-stop shop, essentially, for all our content needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people don't realize this. Once you have to, if you want to wake up and watch a UFC match at 2 o'clock, you can't just switch on DStv. You have to go to another streaming platform with a different subscription package just for that. And if you have to have five of these just to watch what you currently watch on one platform, the likelihood also is that the cost would be higher than what you currently get it on SuperSport, you know, on DStv, for example. Mm. So, you know, as consumers, we're very quick to say, yes, we don't like the repeats of Generations and the content, but where else do you get all of your live sport in one place at the same time for one subscription package? It's just not possible. It actually doesn't exist anywhere else in the world apart from SuperSport, which is why, as I say, you know, SuperSport is a unicorn. It does. It's, we will we will miss it once it's gone, but the world moves on and streaming is coming, and you know, it can't be stopped.
It can't be stopped. Mobile, there are many more conversations to have with you on this. Such an interesting dynamic that's unfolding. Thanks again for your time this evening, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That is Mobile Ndlovu, Cash and Sport Research Director, helping us unpack the various dynamics. Yes, we focused on multi-choice and their numbers yesterday, but in light of the fact that we are in an ever-evolving world when it comes to content and content-sharing platforms, we just decided to give you an analysis of SuperSport and just what would happen, whether it stays under the multi-choice stable or if it joins its global counterparts in being an independent streaming platform. Yep, some considerations to share there. But share your thoughts too,
0636 880959. Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.